only believe right here in Kenton, Ohio. Woo. I tell you what, boy, that weather's been something to handle, huh? Amen. Amen. But we're thankful that God. Well, not for me, but for you guys. I thought you'd catch that little joke there. But this morning, I tell you what, it is so good to be here. It's so good to be in the presence of the Lord. And it's so good for us to have an opportunity to come together as a family of faith and worship God corporately. Amen? And I tell you what, the Lord is going to move amongst us this morning, because before you ever even thought of getting here, He was already ready to experience you and your worship and just to love on you and fortify you, because that's how our God is. Amen? So we're just going to step into this time, and we're just going to worship God and let Him flow throughout this service today.
Call my name. I ran out of that grave. glorious day.
Get loud!
love is all around me. Gratefulness inside me. Your faithfulness before me, before me.
Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When when you fill the room. You're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Yeah. Oh, brother. Oh, brother.
promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You're the way, way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who
Healers who you are. keep praising me. I'm taking you deeper. I'm taking you deeper. All it takes is a little. I love you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. You're everything to me, Lord. Raise your hands. Let your feet dance. Run. Just keep praising me because I'm taking you deeper today.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
God is. But who are you? Who does God say you are? Are you still sitting in what bound you before? Are you still sitting on what somebody else declared over you? Are you still living in the past of what was? Or are you living in what God says you are, in what God says you can be? Are you living in the promises and the freedom that He has set before you, that whom the Son sets free and free indeed? Or are you still going to struggle with what was? Or are you going to trust God? Are you going to serve God today and lay down your past and stand before Him and serve Him?
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah.
This Praise the name of the
this
Lord.
This is who God says He is. Are you going to believe Him or believe something different? That was so in my heart when we were singing, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness. My God, that is who you are. And then the part when, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. My God, that is who you are. Are we going to believe the report of the Lord? Are we going to believe the report of the enemy that says that's not who He is? No, He's not going to do that for you. Oh, I got news for you. The enemy is a liar.
Amen.
And I can tell you that's who God is. I'm standing living proof that that's who God is. This man's alive. You've met him. I haven't done anything to him yet. That's living proof.
Amen.
Jesus is alive.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. No, I'm just kidding about that part. But truly, God has brought you this far.
Amen. Yes.
God has brought you this far. He strengthened you. He has given you peace in situations where you never thought you would have peace.
Amen.
He's anointed you. He has called you. He has picked you by hand. Amen. Knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb.
Yes.
God don't make mistakes. Quit saying that. No, you're not. No, you're not.
Amen.
God don't make mistakes. Not one person is here by mistake.
Amen.
I don't care. Not one person is here.
Amen.
By mistake. On this earth, in this place, anywhere, by mistake. God has plans. Amen. And a purpose for you because he loves you. Just think, if we could see down the road of 2,000 years down the road and what will be, if we would pay a price today for our ancestors 2,000 years down the road, well, not even people we don't even know, for 2,000 years down the road, and believe that it would happen, believe that what I was doing was going to change their lives. We can't even believe that what we're going to do is going to change our life.
Mm.
Right? But Jesus saw it all.
Amen.
Went to the cross and gave you reconciliation with the Father. Not because your mistake, because you are formed after your Father in his image and his likeness.
Amen.
Beautiful. Amen. Oh, I love God.
Praise God.
I love God. Well, yeah. Welcome back. I know. We're glad to be back. Truly, we are.
Yes.
I was laughing at this morning because people kept saying, welcome to back to, how many feet do we have? Two? I don't know. It's pretty. And I'm like, I'm from Ohio. I've lived in Ohio all of my life.
Yes, exactly.
We're used to snow.
Yeah.
We are used to snow.
Yes, we
are. Actually, I love Ohio. I like to visit other places. Don't want to live anywhere else.
Live in Ohio. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. I'm where I'm at. I'm where I want to be. Amen. So it was nice to get away. We did get lots of rest.
Yes.
It was beautiful, but we are so glad to be back with y'all.
I got a nice tan.
You did get a nice tan.
Yeah.
You see him? You guys think he's kidding. No, he's not. But can you see?
Ow.
Can you see it?
Ow.
He got a tan.
Jeez, oh, man.
He looks like midnight now instead of dark. All right, you good? Oh, we got a marriage conference this Friday at the Bakken's campus. It starts at
6 o'clock
and it goes till 9. There's going to be, I'm sorry, chocolate? Oh, I thought you said chocolates provided.
Amen.
That's a little bit better than child care for me. Child care is provided, yes. So we invite you to come, and we're going to try to get them to tape it. So later, those, if any of you can't come that want to come, we can do it here and just show it up on the video. So that'll be
and
nice.
We'll schedule that when we get that opportunity. Okay, I guess at this time, we better let all these children go to children's church. Praise God. Hallelujah. With Pastor Jared there. And then what we're going to do is just take a quick look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to read in verse 6. It says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And I know that right now we're taking up tithes and offerings, and certainly this scripture is referencing tithes and offerings. But I'm telling you that as people of God, sowing and reaping should be an established part of how we live our life. And it should not just be in the area of finances. It should be in the area of mercy, grace, and all of those types of things. We should be willing to make sure that we're sowing, and not grudgingly and not sparingly, but deeply and with real commitment, even within our relationships, make sure that we're sowing in such a way that God can add his blessing to what you give. Remember, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. And that's not just in finances, it's in all areas of our life. So let's make sure, especially today, there seems to be an added need for us to be working in patience and love and kindness and mercy and grace towards people. And so let's make sure that we apply ourselves in this manner so that we can be blessed. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray blessing over the tithes and offerings today, Lord. God, that as people sow, God, and as they sow bountifully, God, they're going to see how they can reap bountifully and what you will do with whatever they give, Father, because it will be given down back to them, pressed down and good measure and running over, God. Now, we just pray blessing over tithes and offerings, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, I'm going to start to talking about, and really overall, I'm going to be referencing some of the things that we might be looking forward to in the future. I'm going to be looking a little bit at the rapture and some things that are still out there as earmarks for us as Christians. But, you know, I'm kind of talking about what's next for all of us. And I just want to focus for just a little bit about the very fact that the Lord says in the Bible in Luke 18:8, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? Okay? Now, we're going to talk about some of these topics, but before we get into all that stuff, I just want to bring us back to home base for just a few minutes, because the Lord says, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? See, sometimes I think people think that the Lord's looking for everybody who's studied biblical prophecy over the future and all these things that half of us can't, that we can't guess for the most part anyhow and come up with anything real true or relevant. And sometimes I think we're so often all these other things that we forget that when Jesus comes, his requirement is faith on the earth. You know, what are we going to do as we see the world change and as we see things get more difficult and as we get more uncomfortable maybe with what's going on, what are we going to do? The people of God have got to make sure that they hold fast to their faith, that we hold fast the profession of things that we have been doing that's brought us this far. Amen. You know, when things go another dimension to wherever they're going to go, this is the expectation that the Lord's going to have for you, that you're still reading the word, that you're still coming to church, that you're still in prayer, that you're still witnessing, that you are doing all you can do to live for Christ no matter where you're at. He's going to expect you to still be reflecting the Lord at your workplace. He's going to expect you to still be reflecting the Lord when you go to the store and when you're around people. And God's biggest expectation for all of us is, what are we doing individually to try to bring people to the Lord, or at least witness to people as much as we possibly can? What's next? What are we supposed to be doing? We are supposed to be living in the way a Christian should live according to the covenant of the Word of God. I want to remind you that when Jesus first came and he was preaching, it says in the book of John, chapter 8, 30 through 31, he was preaching and all of a sudden people believed him. And he said, hey, now that you believe, continue in my word. In other words, your beginning of salvation is what it is, the beginning of salvation. We're saved as we're getting saved. You know, the Bible says that we should be changing from glory to glory. That means that each year and each every day, really, but at least each year, we should try to look back at our life and say, hey, how have I changed? How have I matured? What have I done more towards the Lord this year than what I used to do? And we should be able to verify those things. You know, our language should change. I pray that you're not talking today the same way you talked when you first got saved. At least for me, that was not good. So these are things that should be happening in our life. And this is what's most critical. And this is what's most important as we look at some of these things that we're going to look at in the Bible. And in order for us to look ahead into the Bible just a little bit, you know, I think that one of the things that we've got to do is we've got to go in right here to a certain scripture here in the book of Thessalonians. And I want to read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You know, one thing that we've got to remember is that as the world crumbles, we have great hope. As a Christian, you know that even if the world comes to an end, it's not the end of you. When we leave this earth, people, we're going to step into a new place of glory that's better and much more profound than anything we've known up till this time. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll let what's going around in the world give us such a gloom and doom statement that we will forget to shake ourselves and say, hey, wait a minute, I don't like to see the world going this way. I don't like to see things going in a negative direction. But at the same time, I know that what I'm going to do is hold on to my faith, because at the end of this world, whether I make it to the day I go to the grave or whether it happens before, I know where I'm going and I know what's ahead of me and I know what a blessing it's going to be. So I'm not going to allow myself to be down and out and worried and stressed and walking in all this darkness all the time. Amen? And it says here, brethren, that I would not have you be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as though as others which have no hope. When you die as a Christian, you don't come to the end of yourself, you come to the beginning of your new self. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? And I'm telling you that that's an exciting time for us to sit here and just think about the fact that death does not mean an end to us. Death means a brand new beginning for us. Amen? And it means that we're going to step into a place where there is no sorrow, there is no pain, there is no death, there is no weakness, there is no physical sickness. We're going to step into the fullness of what God intended for us to always walk in. Amen? Now, when we look at this, it says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Wow. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which will alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I want us to know today that for the church, we cannot forget that we have a different outcome than the world. And one of the things that's going to happen for the church is that we are going to have a catching away or being caught up, or what we refer to as the rapture. Now, I know that some people say, well, rapture is not in the Bible. And they'll try to fight you and all this kind of stuff. But really what happened was that, I believe it was in 400 AD when there was a Latin guy that they started first coming out with Latin interpretations of the Bible. That's where the word rapture comes from. But I don't care if you get caught up on that word or not. Let's just keep it what it says. We'll be caught up. And what that means is that we are going to leave this earth all in a big group when the Lord's timing is. You know, I'm also going to tell you something else that might shock your shoes, but lots of theology... lots of the theologists and lots of those people who study end times and study this kind of stuff, you know, right now they're saying that from a biblical standpoint, there's nothing left that they can look to that would hold back the rapture. Amen. I was about to say that should be exciting for us, that we're living in a time where the rapture is not held back from us and that we should always have our head looking up. You know, the Bible says that we should be looking up into the salvation that's coming to us, and it should be something that's exciting for the church. When you leave here today, I'm telling you that you have lots of things to be excited about because, number one, the rapture could happen at any time. And number two, even as the world goes the way it's going to go, for you as a Christian, you should know that there's safety and power in what you have in the Lord. Amen? Yes. Even for our brothers and sisters that were persecuted and have come to the end of their life early, listen to me. They will tell you, especially when you meet them in heaven, that it was well worth the journey and it was well worth what they went through in order to be able to proclaim and hold on to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to know here that when it's talking here in this scripture about us being caught away, it is talking about the catching away of the church. And there's some discussion of what's going to happen when we get to the tribulation times and the times of tribulation. Now, there are several topics here that might be kind of sensitive, and I'm not trying to change where you stand on these things. I'm just going to lean into the one that makes the most sense. But I don't want you to get offended if you think a little differently than I do. But I want you to know something, that when it comes to the rapture, people ask, well, when's that going to happen? Is that going to happen before the tribulation? Is that going to happen midway through the tribulation? Is that going to happen at the end of the tribulation? Well, I'm telling you that I can't sit there and jump up and down and say, it's definitely going to happen here. But I'm going to tell you that there's a lot of information and there's a lot of theological information that suggests that the rapture will happen before the tribulation. Oh, that might make some of you mad. I had a friend of mine and his whole thinking was that he purposely wanted to try to live through the tribulation. Wow. Thank goodness that as he's grown in Christ, he's changed his mind. And he, like me, listen to this. I can't tell you exactly what it's going to be, but I tell you what, I'm more interested in the catching away and the rapture than I am trying to survive the tribulation. In fact, I believe that going up in the rapture is a reward to those believers who truly live their life with an authenticity towards God. If you are living your life truly at the best of your ability every day to love the Lord and to live for Him, then the rapture is a culminating event that's a reward or a blessing, or that's going to be an opportunity for the church to go up before it experiences the tribulation. Amen? And so I want us to be ready for that, and I want us to think about that, and I want us to grab a hold of that, and I want us to make sure that this is something that we're living in today and is something that we make sure that we are a part of. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to read to you out of another book that people think It's pretty prophetic and it has some things in it, but really, I'm just going to establish something because I want to establish a type of how we ought to live in the middle of this. And so I'm going to take you back to history in Daniel, and we're going to look at Daniel chapter 6. And Daniel was a man of God, and he lived during a time where a king was influenced to change all the laws to be against Christians and to not let Christians do what they wanted to do, but to let them purposely have to serve an idol. And so Daniel hears this decree. It's put in place, and they're bringing this down across him and across the land. And so it says here that if someone goes against the king and does this, he'll be cast into the den of lions. And so this is all written up and put before and put out there in the public. And the first thing Daniel does is in Daniel 6, chapter 10, is this is exactly how Daniel responds to the new change. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So this is something that's critical to us as believers, that as the world changes and as things change and people try to change our belief, the things we can't do as a believer is change. Amen? We're going to have to do things according to the Word of God if we're going to walk in God's blessing. We're not going to be able to change things and go up in the rapture. We're not going to be able to adhere to the world and have the blessing of God and the favor of God follow us and strengthen us and help us. If we're going to have God's hand on us, then even when the world changes, we're going to have to keep ourselves focused and do it God's way. Amen? It says, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Has thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any God or man within 30 days, save of this king, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. So what happens after this is that the king is sorrowful because he really likes Daniel, but he had to allow Daniel to go into the lion's den. And what's amazing is that after Daniel was in the lion's den, he was in there all night long, and he got out the next day because the king came and searched for Daniel and said, hey, Daniel, did your God save thee? And Daniel said, yes. He said he sent an angel to shut the mouths of the lions. Amen? You know, folks, I think that sometimes if we're not careful, we will forget just what God will do on our behalf. I think that we need to make sure that we remember that God is in this thing with us. Amen? And sometimes when we get caught up in the news and we get caught up in too much stuff and seeing too much stuff on television, if we're not careful, it will cause us to waver in our faith in what we believe, and it'll cause us to waver in what we see about what God's really providing for us. Amen? And we just got to make sure that we're careful about that and that we are open to the fact that the Lord is going to always make room for us. Amen? The Lord will send angels to shut the mouths of the lions that are around you. Amen? And the Lord will make a way where there seems to be no way, and he will bring through justice what justice needs to be done. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Well, I want to bring something else up that I hope is not too sensitive today, but it's a little topic that we're going to talk about just for a moment, because we really need to make sure that we understand this stuff. So in Revelation chapter 13, 11 through 16 or 18 there, if you read that, and you can read it later when you're home or somewhere, you'll read in there something called the mark of the beast. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Hallelujah. And here is what I want you to understand something about, is that, you know, there's been a lot of controversy, even in the last several months or year or whatever, with people talking about the vaccination for the virus and being scared of it and different stuff. And, you know, when it comes to vaccinations, this is what I say to you. You have to read and you have to pray and you have to make your own decision about what you get. But I also want you to tell you this right here. The vaccination is not the mark of the beast. Hallelujah. I want to bring you revelatory news today. The vaccination is not the mark of the beast. And the reason I'm saying that to you is that it is something seriously out there that has been said and talked about. But if we would just stick to the Bible, we would have a clear biblical reference to what the mark of the beast is. It is a number or a name that's going to be put in your hand or your forehead. And I know that that might seem outdated for today's technological wowings and advancements, but I'm also going to tell you that marking people with different things over the generations has been something that, whether we like it or not, it's been a true part of our cultures around the world, where people have been marked over the years for certain things and beliefs and all kinds of things. So what we need to understand is that when it comes to the mark of the beast, the biblical revelation of it is that you have to take it willingly and you have to have a clear revelation of what it is. And think about your God. Think about how merciful he is. Do you think that he's going to die on the cross for you? Do you think he's going to fight for you? Do you think he's going to pay a price for your life and then let you get fooled into something that is going to be a place of no return where you could never come back to him? You know, because once you willingly take the mark of the beast and you willingly get that put on your hand or your forehead, and you have to take that to say, I deny all others, I deny Christ, I deny it, and I'm going with this idol and this monster. And how can you believe that God would let you do that deceitfully and tell you how much he loves you? Absolutely no way. And also, it's not biblical to ever think that a vaccination is going to be the mark of the beast. It's just not what's in the scripture. It's just not scripturally relevant. So I don't know how these guys came up with all these theories, but none of those theories are true in terms of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, so I just want to go back to the fact that as we look at this thing and we see that just like God provided for Daniel, the Lord will provide for us. Now, I don't know every way God's going to have to provide for us, but I do know that without fail, God is going to provide for us and we are going to see him bring us through this thing, and the rapture of the church will happen, and then the rest of the finishing work will happen. And those are things that we're going to look at here going ahead into the future. But for today, one of the things I want to do is just reference back to the fact that what should I be doing right now? What should I be doing right now? Living your best life. I'm telling you, the Lord is still giving people dreams and visions right now. The Lord is still giving you hope for your family. The Lord is still giving you things that are going to happen and things that are going to come to pass. And our job right now is to be living our best life that we know how to live, serving the Lord. Amen? And that means that you should still have dreams and hopes that are out in front of you. You should still have things that you're looking forward to, and you should be planning those things, and you should be living your best life before the Lord. Amen? Because the Lord is not going to leave you, and no matter what happens, God will make a way for us. Amen? I'm telling you, God knows how to protect you and your family. God knows how to get yourselves ready. And if it was me, what I would do and what I'm going to be doing, seriously, is I'm making myself rapture ready. And what I mean by that is I want to make sure that I'm living the best life for Christ every day I can, so that no matter, because that's the one thing we know about the rapture. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know what day, what hour, and it's going to happen in a millisecond of time, a moment of time, whoop, that fast, and we're going to be taken out of here, and we're going to celebrate, praise God, and we're going to be a part of God's great army. But what's so powerful is that no matter what's going on, we got to make sure that we're rapture ready, amen? We got to make sure that we're living every day in a way that says, Lord, if you came today, I did my best to live for you. Lord, if you came today, I've done my best to get away from things that are not of God. I've done my best to cut off ungodly relationships and associations, and I don't have any hidden addictions and things or nothing that could separate me from truly being who you are and who you want me to be. And that are the things that we need to be worried about today. Those are the things that we need to be saying, what am I going to do next, or what's coming next? What's coming next is the rapture when it comes, but before it comes, what's coming next is our willingness or our responsibility to be who we are in God. Amen? Yeah. On a day-to-day basis. Amen? Yeah. You still got a lot of life to live, and you still need to know that God is with you. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare your glory, Father. Lord, I just lift you up and I just exalt you. And God, I just declare your goodness today, Father. Lord, I declare your blessing upon your people, God. And right now, I just pray, God, that those in need of healing, those in need of a touch of you, God, that it is happening for them even as we speak, God. Father, I just pray blessing upon the house today, blessing upon your people. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to help us navigate this weather and all those things that are a natural part of this life, God. And I just declare your goodness, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Okay, we got some prayer requests here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I put Mary before you, God, and I just pray your blessing upon her and your hand to heal would be just be released upon her, God. And we just release the working of miracles and healing to just flow into her, God. And I just ask you for your great blessing in this, in Jesus' name. Lord, right now we pray for Marie's daughter, Samantha, God. And God, we just pray over her, God, that you would just strengthen her, God, that you'd give her the power to fight against afflictions and addictions and things that try to hold her back, God. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise God. We put Rita before you, God, and this surgery that she has. We just put that before you, God, that everything would go well. God, that you would just touch the hands of the surgeons, Father. And Lord, that they'd be able to do this surgery in a way that would give her the fullness of recovery. And God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Father God, hallelujah, we just pray for Phil and for Haley, God. And Lord, we just pray that this sickness would be broken off of her, Father. And Lord, that she'd be healed, God. And Lord, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God, we put Tim before you right now who had open heart surgery. And God, we just pray for a speedy recovery and quick healing, God. And Lord, we just thank you that this surgery has done the work and that it's going to function fully the way it should. And I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
You know, as we were sitting there and as Phil's given this word, there's something I was reminded of that's happened when we've been away and on vacation, that at the place that we're at, it's like a family, that since 2011, since we've been gone there, we've lost three people there while we were there. Three people who we walked by, said hi to, had conversations with, laughed with, joked with. The next day we woke up and they were gone. And so I just want to, and not to scare you, obviously it's not to scare you, but the word says that none of us are promised tomorrow.
Amen.
It's a gift, amen?
Amen.
And so we need to be, when he says to be rapture ready, that means that we need to make sure our focus is Jesus.
Yes.
That there's no willing sin in our life, that we're not willingly turning our head away from what God would be having us do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It's not just about reading your word, but it is about reading your word. It's just not about praying and seeking God, but it is about that. It's not just about worshiping. It's not just about fasting, but it's about treating one another with love and respect.
Amen.
It's about opening your arms up for somebody who may be needing help from you.
Yes.
We were in the airport leaving, and it's like 1 something at night. And I walk out as soon as we get there to give Philip our bags, our carry-ons, so I could go back and help Phil with our other luggage. And as I'm walking out, I wasn't paying attention to anything. I was so focused on giving Philip our bags, and it was late and I was tired. And once I got outside the doors, I thought, wait a minute, did I just hear somebody like really crying? Like, that's weird. You know, like there's double doors that you walk through at the Dayton airport to get out. And I'm like, did I just hear that? Was totally not paying attention, walked back in those same doors. And there's a girl over there, a lady over there, just wailing, crying, just crying.
Yeah.
How did I not hear her the first time when I walked through those doors? I was so mad at myself. So I walked over to her and I just talked to her and I said, honey, what is wrong with you? What is going on? And she'd just been through a lot.
Yeah.
She, we found out later, you know, she'd been delayed because of the weather for 3 days, been in and out of airports, delayed, and had to stay over in some airports, and then she got home late and couldn't find a ride home. She couldn't find anybody to come get her. Lyft, Uber, wherever in Dayton, couldn't come get her. So I said, you know, well, hold up. And so we ended up taking her home, more of the story. But when we got her in the car, and I started talking to her and asked her where she's coming from, what she was doing, her sister had just been a victim of a murder.
Home invasion.
And that's why she was coming home. And that's why she's falling apart. Now, thank the Lord he gave me a second chance, honestly, because I was just going about my life the first time, just focused on what I wanted to do, where I wanted to be, and how I wanted to get home and go to bed. But the Lord woke me up outside and said, did you not just hear that? Let's keep our ears open as we're waiting for the Lord, as we're waiting for the trumpet to sound. Let's make sure we take as many people with us as
Amen.
We can.
Amen.
Amen. And make Amen. Sure you are ready. You are ready. No willing sins. No something that says, well, Amen. Me and God got our own thing. Listen, I love it. It sounds good. It sounds good, right? And it makes you feel a little bit of peace because you're at least confessing God, but that's not what the word says.
Amen.
The word says that Jesus is the only way.
Amen.
There's no other doorway. Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's the only reconciliation you have with your Father. And he's the only way we're going to get through those
Amen.
Gates is by the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He was the propitiation. Did I say that right? I can't say that
yeah.
right. For our sins. Amen. So, you know, you and God having your own thing. No, you have your own thing that you are confused about with God. God doesn't have his own thing with you. God's got his one way with all of us.
Amen.
Amen. And we all must follow it.
Amen.
We all must follow it.
Amen.
Amen. And we'll follow rules to do other things. Like we just rode an airplane and you had to wear a mask to get on that airplane and you couldn't take it off because they would fine you. There would be civil and possible criminal charges if you took your mask off. That's what they would tell us on the airplane every time we were on the airplane. And we'd put that mask up And as much as I hate that thing, as much as it causes me great, we wore it because we wanted to go where we wanted to go. So if you really want to be who God wants you to be and you really love the Lord, you're going to do what he tells you to do. Amen. And the things that he says, they're not hard.
Amen.
The things that he tells you to do, it's not because he hates you. It's not because he wants to make your life difficult. It's because he loves you. Amen. And he wants to help you. There are going to be difficulties in life. And if you don't have the Lord, I don't know how people get through those difficulties.
Amen.
But he's saying, I want to help you through those difficulties.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So if everybody would bow their head, I just feel like this is an opportunity not to leave without making sure. Everybody just, you know, think of your own life. Now listen, none of us are perfect and none of us are claiming to be perfect. But what we want to be is right with God. And we want our hearts to be right with God. And the only way to do that is to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and to live for him.
Yeah.
It says that we are to live for him as he died for us. So if you're in here and you say, you know what, I'm struggling with that. I'm struggling living for him. I'm struggling with wanting to live the way of the world and living the way of the word. If that's you, please raise your hand. Okay, we see that hand. Now, if you're here and you're saying, you know what, I've never asked Jesus to come into my heart, but I want to. I want him to be Lord of my life. If that's you today, raise your hand. Praise God. And if you're online with us, stay with us, because we're going to pray a prayer in a little bit. You can pray with us, and it doesn't matter if you're at home or somewhere visiting family. If you're watching us online, God's not moved by space. Amen? So we're just going to all pray this together, because I am a firm believer that we're a body. We're a family.
Amen.
And you don't leave one out.
Amen.
And you don't make one feel alone. Amen. I remember when I got saved, I wouldn't walk up front. And had that whole church not said that prayer with me, I would not have said that prayer, because I was just backwards and not, you know. And I don't want to make anybody feel anything other than the peace and the love of God come over them. So if you will say this prayer, everybody with us, just say this prayer for the one who raised their hand. Amen. So Father God, we come before you. You repeat after me. And we thank you for today.
Thank you for today.
We thank you for loving us.
We thank you for loving us.
And Father, we ask right now.
We ask right now.
That you strengthen us in our walk with you.
That you strengthen us in our walk with you.
That we want you. And
your kingdom.
And your ways.
More than we want the world's ways.
We ask you to strengthen each of us.
Strengthen each of us.
Help us to walk in your way.
Help us to walk in your way.
And right now, Father God,
I say
that I do not want the way of the world.
I do not want the way of the world.
I cast it down.
I cast
every feeling and thought down of it.
Cast every feeling and thought.
And I thank you for strengthening me.
I thank you for strengthening me.
For walking the walk you made for me.
Amen.
Now, Father, we just give you glory today. That, Lord God. Amen. You're done. Okay, that was good. Sorry. But Father, I thank you that what we've asked you to strengthen us in our walk, that we want you more than we want the world, that you're doing that for us, that you're moving on our behalf, that as a word that came forth, that we're not looking at who we used to be, but we're looking at who you've made us to be now and moving forward. And Father, I thank you that everybody here is rapture ready and stays rapture ready. And we give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. We want to thank you for being here, and we'll see you on Thursday and next Sunday.